Good morning, June 28, 2026. Time for your harm reduction briefing. Today's thread is access to treatment. From bringing opioid care into the field in Maine to new research on medication availability and buprenorphine barriers. Disclaimer. This software uses AI to aggregate content and transcribe it to speech. Please double-check sources before putting any information into action. Starting with the news, Fox News reports that New Mexico Attorney General Raul Torres has launched a criminal investigation into the DEA over allegations that agents let fentanyl flood the state. In Waterville, Maine, CentralMaine.com reports that the city will bring opioid treatment into the field as part of a state pilot program. That is one to watch for how quickly treatment can reach people outside traditional clinic settings. On the West Coast, Times of San Diego says State Senator Catherine Blakespear is launching a push for a bill that would limit sales of nitrous oxide. And in Philadelphia, a neurologist writing in Philly Voice says using cannabis for sleep is not harmless and can trap people in a cycle of dependency. Meanwhile, in Houston, ABC 13 reports that Texans are sharing their experiences with a psychedelic that the state is spending millions to study. Over in the Social Pulse, one lived experience post on Blue Sky argues that forced treatment will not help, with the writer saying, "I wasn't ready till I was ready." That post reflects a familiar debate over readiness, autonomy, and what kinds of treatment approaches people actually trust. A couple of innovation notes also surfaced. On X, Theravive highlighted a new study exploring how a simple app may support people facing housing instability and substance use, with early signs of reduced use, fewer cravings, and improved well-being. Also on X, Startup Health shared that Cliexa, led by CEO and founder Mehmet Kazgan, announced a strategic partnership with OpiSafe to deliver a comprehensive AI-powered opioid stewardship and behavioral health platform. There was also a contrasting message in the opposition lane. A post on X criticized Housing First, calling it a horrible program, and arguing that placing people in active addiction into apartments leads to failure and alienates landlords and veterans. That stands as an example of opposition messaging around housing-based harm reduction approaches. Turning to research, a study in JAMA Health Forum examined the geographic availability and use of medications for opioid use disorder among Medicaid enrollees. Another study, in The Lancet Public Health, looked at opioid agonist treatment and mortality risk in French primary care through a nationwide retrospective cohort design. And the Journal of Addiction Medicine published research on Medicaid prior authorization and discontinuation of buprenorphine. That is a practical signal for anyone tracking how administrative rules can interrupt treatment continuity. On funding, there are several current opportunities to note. The Health Resources and Services Administration has two Rural Communities Opioid Response Program opportunities, R-Corp Impact and R-Corp Planning. Both have a deadline of July 8, 2026, so those are coming up soon. Also current, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration is offering Preventing Youth Overdose: Treatment, Recovery, Education, Awareness, and Training, with a deadline of July 16, 2026. For any additional funding opportunities flagged by the newsletter, check out the browser version. And finally, in advocacy, the National Harm Reduction Coalition is urging people to contact Congress to reject HIV funding cuts in the federal budget.
The National Alliance to End Homelessness is also asking supporters to use its call and email script to protect homelessness funding. If that last item is relevant to your work, having the script ready may make outreach easier today. That is your morning briefing. Stay informed, stay grounded, and have a strong start to your day.